Red Line.
French President François Hollande made a hectic effort to forge a new anti-terrorist coalition against the Islamic State in an unprecedented diplomatic marathon shuffling between the leaders of Britain, the U.S., Germany, Italy, and Russia. His transcontinental travels took him from Washington, D.C. to Moscow, transcending the new Cold War divisions that have crept up in today's world. France has moved its only aircraft carrier into the Eastern Mediterranean and is looking to bridge the Russian and U.S.-led coalitions in order to create a global anti-terrorist force against ISIL. All the leaders he spoke to seem receptive to his proposal in principle, but the problem seems to be that neither the U.S. nor Russia want to cede leadership over this struggle. And Washington continues to bomb Syria without any approval or coordination whatsoever with Damascus. For his ambitious efforts in trying to bring the U.S. and Russia together under a French umbrella for the global anti-terrorist front, François Hollande is our man of the news this week.
Obviously, President Hollande is the man in the new century. I think that while we agree that his mission probably were at one point overshadowed by the incident with downing of Russia's Su-24 plane, the very fact that he performed that diplomatic marathon, which started with his talks with Prime Minister Cameron, then, as you know, he moved to Washington to speak to President Obama, then he had a meeting with Merkel, with Renzi, and finally coming to Moscow, this is something unprecedented. And I think it's good that we've seen him appearing with Vladimir Putin at the press conference. I personally recall the memories of that special relationship between Russia and France, which enjoyed in decades. So you remember we were allies during the Second World War. Then we remember about the De Gaulle spirit. And even in the time of the Cold War, France was one of the pioneers of détente. Let us not forget about that. So, and now, again, another moment of truth in international relations. You see, that cowardly betrayal act on the part of Turkey. And President Hollande coming to Moscow and saying, look, we have to put aside our differences because the number one enemy for all of us is ISIS. If we don't unite, then all of us would lose. And this is very important. I think we have to read again all those statements which were made at the press conference. That was not just for the purpose of making statements. They're very important. And they really probably explain how the world politics would shape up. Because we are fed up with that standoff. No one needs this crippling standoff.
Yeah, I mean, this was a very, very significant event with all of his global shuttling. And I think we should discuss this with our in-studio guest, Mr. Kirill Kokhtish. He's an associate professor at the Moscow State Institute of International Relations. So as Sergei mentioned, in the past, France was one of the pioneers of détente. Could France be stepping back into its historical shoes and once more trying to create a détente?
Well, France actually turned to be a country which is, France pretends it keeps European spirit, the spirit of Europe. And now Hollande really did certain moves that should prove that France is keeping the European spirit and tries to defend it. There are several challenges with which Europe has met. There is refugee challenge. There is challenge of the downed plane by Turkey. And actually, Hollande's visit was, first of all, demonstrations that France, first of all, considered Russia to be a really important partner for the Middle East settlement. Second, that France considering Turkey to be a problematic partner. And probably he is the wrong player in the wrong team. Because, of course, there would be race questions that most of the refugees came from the territory of Turkey to Europe. And this is fact. The game of the Erdogan, because actually he's close to Islamist, and in his youth he even was imprisoned for the Islamistic activity. He belonged to the prohibited organization. He was imprisoned. So what ties he keeps with the ISIS? Obviously he benefits from oil trade, but also he benefits probably, and he has some ambitions that make ISIS to be his partner. So this was a challenge for France. To distinct, what game should it play? Whether it would follow the former obligations under the NATO organization, probably, or would be a reformulation of the real goals and real priorities. And Hollande tried to pave the way. Of course, there were no breakthrough on these negotiations. It was only slow move forward. But actually, we should constate that this, I guess, 4 or 5 hours discussion actually it was productive because positions remained more closer than they
were before. Mr. Koktesh, I understand that there was no breakthrough, but we can't expect miracles, you know, things to be done overnight. Now what I want to tell, you know, there's a lot of talk that President Hollande is one of the most unpopular presidents in the history of France after the Second World War, but it is equally true that he just this week performed an outstanding act of personal courage, and he came up with this initiative without getting stamp of approval neither from NATO nor from Washington. And, you know, if you go to social networks, you see what political pundits were writing, that they will not allow him. But he showed that he simply ignores all those warnings, you know, just that we will not allow you, you will not cross red line. He came up with this initiative, and it seems it works. No one said no.
Yes.
Yeah, but we definitely have to give credit where credit's due, and we have a commentator on the line right now to discuss this further with us. That's Monsieur Gilbert Mercier. He's the editor-in-chief of News Junkie Post and the author of The Orwellian Empire.
Red Line.
Hello, Gilbert. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me, and always a pleasure.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's always a pleasure to have you on as well. I wanted to ask you about France's positioning here, specifically what Mr. Hollande has in mind. Do you think that he realized that this anti-ISIL fight, it can't be the U.S. and Europe's alone? I mean, they need to cooperate with Russia. Is that the message he's sending? Are we right in interpreting it that way?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's quite remarkable what President Hollande is doing. Is basically France is becoming a diplomatic conduit, if you wish, between the U.S. and Russia. And I'll explain. He first met Mr. Obama in Washington, and I think he understood that there is currently a political vacuum, a power vacuum, to be precise, in Washington. And then after meeting President Obama, he went to meet President Putin to open the line of communication. I think he's trying to defuse, you know, the Cold War introduced by the U.S. by, organizing, plotting revolution in Ukraine, for example.
Just as a follow-up, Mr. Gilbert, to what you said, let me refer to the statements which were made at press conference in Kremlin. So if we look what Mr. Land said, he said that France calls for a broad and strong coalition in fighting against terrorism. And Vladimir Putin also said that Moscow shared similar stance concerning the creation of a broad coalition to fight terror. Don't you think that such a proximity of statements puts President Obama in somehow awkward position because President Obama was very suspicious of any cooperation with Russia?
Well, I completely agree with you. And the thing is, there's also something very interesting that President Hollande is starting, which is to get Germany involved in the coalition. The coalition has become a different coalition. And, of course, there's Turkey, which is doing some very, very stupid things. But the U.S., of course, is still, because they kind of specialize in it, is doing stupid things by arming the Kurds. They're arming the Kurds and they ally with Turkey. Not very smart.
Yeah, you're right about that. I kind of want to expand just for one more minute that we have left on what you mentioned about France trying to bring Germany into the anti-ISIL coalition. It seems one can even say just a couple months ago, some people thought it was Germany leading Europe. Now, France seems to be the leader. What do you think about this? Is that what's happening?
What I find remarkable, and that's strictly in a French political context, President Hollande has become Gaullist, and there's something very symbolic in that. The aircraft carrier in question, the French aircraft carrier, the bigger asset of the French army, is named Charles de Gaulle. So it is the symbolic is there, and France, Germany is an occupied country. There's 57 U.S. troops in Germany. How can an occupied country have any kind of political leadership?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Gilbert. And we're running out of time, so we got to let you go. We're always glad to hear your analyses. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me, and always a pleasure.
Red Line.
And with that being said, we're moving over to our other guest, Mr. Jan van Bentham. He's a foreign commentator at the Netherlands Dagblad, which is also called the Netherlands Daily. Hello, Mr. van Bentham. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Yeah, thank you for coming on to the show with us. I wanted to ask you about France's role in maybe being an emissary of NATO, if one will. I mean, we're speaking about how Hollande may be initiating a new détente. Could he kind of be sending messages on behalf of NATO to Russia with his very, very hectic diplomacy between East and West right now?
Mr. Hollande and France, the former speaker just said he is playing a goalist scheme at the moment. The Gaul and NATO were not really friends. The Gaul even stepped out of NATO. I had to remind the quite peculiar position of France in this. Hollande is acting on the waves of the anger in France itself. He needs to show that this cannot just happen in France, that France still is able to retaliate. But France is very tied up, also military, with, of course, Western alliance, especially with England. The new aircraft carriers, which will be built next to the Charles de Gaulle, will be built together with the United Kingdom. So he first went to Cameron, who has limited military capacity at the moment, because the British military are stretched due to all kind of cuts in the budget. He promises a lot, but we have to see whether he can make true on that. Prime Minister Cameron has to go to Parliament to get permission to act in Syria, also with aircraft. He can't do that yet. Obama from America was very hesitant to give any extra support. You see that Germany, with Merkel, has promised reconnaissance aircraft. That means that French aircraft who were doing that up till now can be armed for attack. So the German contribution makes a little extra place for France to actually attack ISIS. And yes, France, and that also Hollande, but also his predecessor Sarkozy, have taken the role of Russia very seriously. You see that since, for instance, the class around Georgia in 2008, where the French President Sarkozy went to Moscow to talk with then President Medvedev and Prime Minister Putin. And now you see that Hollande also takes the Russian contribution against ISIS very seriously. And Russia is in Syria, let's face it. Russia has an important role there.
Yeah, and I wanted to expand on something we spoke about with our previous guest, where it kind of seems like now France is trying to balance between East and West. And this reminds one of what Germany had previously done, working with Russia in the energy and economic sectors. Mm-hmm. And now France seems to be working with Russia in the military political sector. So what do you think when we take both of these things together, Germany with Nord Stream, France with the anti-ISIL coalition, what does this say for where European geopolitics are headed? I mean, what's your feeling for this? What's going on right now?
Despite all the clashes there have been between Western Europe and Russia, there is still the sense in Western Europe that Russia can be an important partner in international politics, and that groups like ISIS are such a danger to our society, but also Russian society. There are many people from the Russian Federation fighting with ISIS. That's also what President Putin is saying. So we do have a common enemy. The strange elephant in the room in this sense here is Iran. And you remember that 2 or 3 days ago, President Putin was in Iran to talk also with the Iranian leader Khamenei. He's the supreme leader of Iran. He has his own Twitter account where he puts all kinds of messages on, and I follow that. And it was very strange around the visit of President Putin to Iran. Iran praised the Russian role, Khamenei also, but in the same two earlier Twitters, he said that the Americans and other countries have directly supported ISIS, Daesh he calls it, even have funded it, play a destructive role. And he also says that is something, was a message for Putin. Investing hope in cooperation and aid from the West and the U.S. in fight against terrorist movements like Daesh or ISIS is erroneous. So Putin would think, Khamenei says here, that he could cooperate with, for instance, France in the struggle against ISIS. He makes a mistake. And then that is strange because Russia and Iran work together to support the Syrian President Assad. So you see, Iran in the region is a very big factor. But when this elephant turns in the room, it can damage a lot of furniture.
Well, you know, let me respond, Jan, to what you said over the elephant. You know, there are elephants and there are elephants in China shop. So I would disagree that Iran is elephant in China shop. Obviously, all countries have their own national agenda. But let us agree that all countries, what unites them is the common threat, which is ISIL. That's important just to breach the differences and to come up, you know, shoulder to shoulder.
That's exactly what is what happened with the visit of Hollande to President Putin. They both recognized that ISIS is an intrinsic danger for as well as the Russian society, as the French society, as also for the Dutch society. And we're talking about it also.
Okay, well, it's been a very great conversation with you, Mr. Van Bentham. As always, thank you very much. Right now, we're thanking all of our guests for participating, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Kirill Koktish. He's associate professor at the Moscow State Institute of International Relations, Mr. Gilbert Mercier, editor-in-chief of News Junkie Post and the author of The Orwellian Empire, and Mr. Jan van Bentham, foreign commentator at the Netherlands Dagblad. Following in our program, we have Vladimir Putin in the land of the Ayatollahs. Stay with us.